we are going to continue talking about the best stories in the Bible, which is so full of amazing stories. But these are my favorite. These are the ones that Jesus told that got so much attention that still we're unpacking thousands of years later and seeing how well they relate to our lives. And so we're talking about the parables of Jesus. And we're in part four, and we're going to be digging deep in the dirt of our hearts and souls. And so we're rototilling today, and you'll see why. But a little quick review, what the parables are just all these stories. They're just these everyday little stories. Some of them are just a couple sentences long. Some of them, like the one today, are a couple pages. And so anything from kings to beggars, to the weather, agriculture, farming, relationships, and families, and banquets, and weddings. And so many ways that Jesus just connected with those who were around him, and using creative short stories, well-known common elements that everybody could connect to. But everybody would ask, hey, why do you teach this way? Why the parables? And that question is going to come up again, especially in today's parable. And Jesus wanted, just like a great teacher, just like a great coach, wanted to make sure you were listening. And it took an intentional listener to really dig in and unpack and get out of Jesus' words what he intended us. So it took some real thinking. If you were just kind of flirting with it and on the outskirts and on the periphery, then maybe you weren't going to fully hear the message. And that's why Jesus would always use that famous line from Isaiah, those with ears, let them hear. And so if you're really listening, you're going to hear something really important that's going to impact your life. But if you're just kind of thinking this is any old thing and you're not really paying attention, you're going to miss an incredible message. And typically, each parable, because it can get, like the one today, it can be a lot of different facets going on. It's like, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? And historically, a lot of people have tried to really attach some crazy meanings around different parables and really kind of extrapolate some things that wasn't the original intention. In parables, in the old Jewish rabbinic tradition, typically the idea was to just really have one main idea, not like an allegory where every character or every event has a symbolic hidden meaning behind it. And so there was just usually one main lesson or idea to draw from Jesus' parables. And so, a little typo there. But anyway, so let's get into one of my favorite machines that's out there. Let's get into some rototilling. You're gonna see why. So this is one of those days where Jesus's got a big crowd, so big they're kind of pressing him to the shore of the lake, and he's got to get out in the water to be able to address everybody. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Just soak that image up for a second. I mean, that's just one of those cool settings that we get to imagine Jesus and the people listening to him. And so, probably some quiet, still waters, but I mean, such a big crowd, going on that if you've ever been on the shore of a lake, you can at least get a little bit of an amphitheater effect going. And so, but I'm sure it was just like in any crowd, a little tough and always a challenge to get everybody's attention. So, Jesus, just immediately launched into one of his stories to connect with everybody and get everybody's attention in a way that everybody in this crowd for sure would get what he was talking about. He taught them many things by parables, and his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And so everybody could connect with that. I mean, maybe there are a few people here in our crowd that have really never, you know, tried growing anything, maybe besides that third grade project, you know, where you had to, you know, water something and see if it would grow. But everybody lived, I mean, this is an agrarian society. I mean, this is, everybody had a sense of farming. Sorry, my dad grew up on a farm. Okay, you just gonna have to put up with that. Everybody had that sense of, you know, what caused something to grow well and what caused or prevented something from growing well. So what is he going to say? Just everybody's dad basically was a farmer. And so your dad went out to sow some seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And there was always a pathway out to everybody's little crop, you know, that you walk back and forth and back and forth to get out and about. Well, the birds came and ate up that seed. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And so probably everybody could relate, because everybody, I know if you look in my backyard, we've got the pathway. Anytime anything gets scattered on that, yeah, that's just birdseed. I mean, that's not going anywhere. It's exposed to the birds of the air, and it's gonna get picked off. We've got some soil. Some of you guys know where that little kid swing set is in the back, and that became a play area because we could not even miss Green Thumb. Denise couldn't get anything growing. I mean, if Denise, it's just ungrowable. I remember getting a rototiller on that section of the backyard, and that dirt or whatever was under it was so hard. I mean, I remember this rototiller bouncing in the air after only about 3 or 4 inches of scarring the surface. And so I remember when we first moved in, I mean, the place was so overgrown and these thorny bushes in the back that if we didn't clear that, nothing, you know, would see the light of day. In that area. And so most of us, unless we have intentionally worked the soil and worked the garden, run into these places that are tough to have to plant anything and see anything grow. And so how do we come upon this good soil? Well, anyway, Jesus tells a story, and who knows what the crowd, you know, thought and heard, but this is one of those parables where we get a sneak inside peek, because the disciples really walked right into what Jesus was hoping for. The reason he's throwing these parables out is he wanted people to think about them and talk about them and ask questions. And he wasn't going to hide anything from them. He wanted to answer those questions. And the disciples basically had this look on their face, though, but they wanted to know what Jesus was talking about, and what does that even mean? I mean, now, you know, it's okay. So he's going with the seed thing. Where is he going? So he sits him down and he goes, you know, line by line through each of those aspects, and starts talking about how soil is a condition of our hearts. It starts off with that hard soil on the pathway. See that hard path, dry, well-worn pathway. Some people, and I just want to say before we get into any of these, I know I've got parts of my heart that reflect all of these kinds of soil. And this isn't just a, you know, well, this person's that, or, you know, this person's the other. I think what we find out when we dive into this parable is we've all got soil that needs to be worked and reconditioned and tilled and allow God to have something to grow with. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, the evil one comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you've got somebody in your life that has a heart that has some stony, you know, packed places, you know, a hard to penetrate heart. And I know I've got places in my heart that I'm trying to crack open, let God get in. But so many times, just like a path, you know. And I remember as a kid in our backyard, there was this, before we really kind of landscaped the yard, there was this natural path that kind of wove its way to the back, because that's what we would always walk down, you know. And that dirt was so packed and so hard, when it came time to landscape it, everything else around it was pretty easy to kind of recondition. But I mean, it took those picks getting in there, you know, to really loosen and unlock what was going on. I just remember that was probably my first image or my first experience in using a pick and shovel. And, you know, and somebody who grew up in my dad's business that I eventually grew into and partnered with him for many years was earth moving, was roadway construction, dirt work. You know, and it's funny, I was sitting in the hospital room about a week ago with one of his current clients. Dad just would never stop working. And you came to see him, and you know, hey Rick, good to see you. I'm just an old dirt head like your dad, you know, and that's kind of what happened. And I'm all, I get it. I was part of that, and I love dirt, but dirt can be so tough. And I remember hearing stories from my dad all growing up on how, well, this job, we'd be driving somewhere. Yeah, we did this job back in the 70s, you know, and we had to blast. You know, we had to get out of dynamite to actually, you know, the roadways were, you know, that those hillsides were so tough. You know, no equipment, no iron, no big iron, as they like to call it, could crack it open. You know, and sometimes, I mean, it's a great description of our hearts. You know, are we, because of just the way life maybe runs over us sometimes, and we go for so long letting life kind of trample us without doing anything about it, without reaching out, without letting God in, that it can just get more packed and more packed till, you know, it might take blasting to unearth and open up. And what happens is nothing can penetrate. And so if there's a hard, packed place in your heart, don't let more life and time trample on it. We need to crack it open. And sometimes it just takes, like when we were down in Mexico and we hit some of that hard rock in those footings we were digging at the orphanage, it just takes a bunch of picking at it and letting God go to work and chip away at those hard spots. And I love this warning in the book of Hebrews. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Okay, today is the day to not let any more time go by that's going to keep packing in that soil. Don't let more time go by. Time is of the essence when we're dealing with a hard heart. And then Jesus went on to talk about the shallow soil and the rocky places. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word,
they quickly fall away. And so this happens a lot when, you know, in the world of gardening, you think you've got something good going in that top few inches, but if you've neglected to really go deeper than that, you've got no idea how you're gonna, you know, hit a hard pan really, really quickly, and nothing's gonna have the ability to establish roots. And the first thing that comes along is going to, just like when the sun comes up, it's gonna burn out. I love how the Apostle Paul in Ephesians puts it. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. And I love this little phrase in there that's talking about the importance of being well rooted and having strong roots in our faith. A lot of it has to do with letting God's Word penetrate into our hearts, because that's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying that the seed is God's Word, and it goes out and it can either penetrate, or it can go shallow for a little while, or it can go deep. But a big part of being rooted in our faith is each other. And I know I've felt this, and I've you know, just in the last weeks, just today, just walking in here today, and the hugs, the encouragements, the prayers and the notes that I've received. I mean, it would be so harder to go through what we're going through if you didn't have the Lord's people around you. And we all need that. And that's a part of growing deep roots. And I love that, I love every week, as every week goes by in Neighborhood Church, and seeing the connections and some of those roots being laid down. I love how in our, small groups, how those relationships are being strengthened all the time. And we all need that. And I put this plea out, you know, from time to time in our church family. Start putting down more roots if you haven't yet, and becoming more established. Because we all need those connections. We need each other. And without each other, it's just really easy to wither. And those of you that feel that establishment and that connection know what I'm talking about. And those that are still working on that, are missing out. And life is harder. God's plan for all of us is not to go anything alone, but to be surrounded by the family of God carrying us through, especially those tough seasons where, the sun is hot and we're exposed and we're withering. How are we going to be nourished? And a big part of that is those relationships with each other. Jesus goes on to talk about the thorny soil, those patches of ground that are taken over by those aggressive plants and that shade over and choke out still others, like seeds sown among thorns. Hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. It's almost impossible to plant anything where these thorny, aggressive bushes that don't need great soil can take over and prevent anything else from thriving. And we're all dealing with these thorns, these worries. We're all being tempted and tricked by that deceitfulness of wealth that's out there. Those desires that we all have in common, but it's that common that's pulling us away from the one thing that's going to provide the nourishment, the growth, and the security that, we're all looking for. You know, I love and hate this little story in the New Testament. Let me set up the story a little bit. Jesus is going to hang out with his cousins, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And there's a lot going on in their household. But they're excited to see him. They're excited to see cousin Jesus. And Mary just wants to be still, just like the song Keith was leading us in, just to be still and know God's goodness and soak that up. But Martha, who was just one of those personalities that's a little more in charge, a little more sees the detail, sees the chaos, wants to organize it and get things done. I totally relate to Martha. Martha, you get a bad rap on this. I get you, Martha. Without you, so little would get done, it seems like. However, Martha, me and you need to chill. We need to chill. We don't carry the world on our shoulders. And Jesus, who carries everything on his shoulders, told her to slow down. Because she was kind of elbowing him and saying, hey, elbowing her sister, Mary, and saying, well, what's the deal, you lazy lump of no good, you know? And Jesus said, actually, she's the one that's got it right. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And he goes on to say, Mary's dialed into that one thing. All you really need is to keep your eyes and ears on me. I've got this. And it's just this incredible lesson for all of us that are fighting the thorns out there. That we just need to clear away those thorns. We can't expect to experience that growth and that nourishment if we've let all these other influences and distractions take us over. But it's so easy to do. There's a lot of really cool stuff to worry about out there. Let me take it from an expert. And so, but how can we clear those out? Because until we do, we're gonna miss that one thing that's going to matter. Let that line just really sink in. One thing is necessary. One thing you need is your time with your Lord, and to keep your eyes and heart fixed on Him. And He's gonna lead you through. He's gonna clear out those thorns as you keep Him as the focus. And then like others, like seed sown on good soil, that hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 60, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. I couldn't get a good picture of the lemon tree. Have I talked about the lemon tree before? That's come up, right? And so we've got just the crazy lemon tree in our backyard that is so misplaced. When we added on to our house years ago, I told the guys that were digging that footing, don't worry about that lemon tree. It's in the way, I know. You know, just cut right through it. We'll replant because it's not going to be in a good area anymore. It's going to be too much shade. You know, and we're not even going to see it anymore. It's in the skinny little side yard that we're not going to enjoy or go. It's a waste. Don't worry about it. And so they did. They took, you know, they said, okay, cool. We don't got to worry about that. Maybe that much was sticking out, you know, when the forms and concrete in the house went up. But it was, I mean, less than a year later. I mean, it was that season. That thing had green on it. I mean, it just came back because it was so established in such great soil right adjacent to where the pumpkin patch was, by the way. But I wish I had a, so think of this apple tree as a lemon tree. But that thing, I mean, who's gotten lemons from a court? You're always taking lemons when you come by, which we can't give these things away fast enough. And so our lemon tree is just the lemon tree on steroids. And
I mean, but I look around this church and I see so many lemon trees. And usually lemons are, it's used in a kind of a negative, you know, term. But the I want to reverse that today because I see so many, so much fruit. It just reminds me of that lemon tree and how it's always producing. It never runs out. I mean, what a crop, what multiplication. Some seed started that off. Who knows? It was there well before we moved in 18 years ago or when, however long that was when we moved into that house. And it keeps producing because it's in good soil. It's well rooted. It was well positioned for so long that nothing else can now affect it. And that's the life that God wants for us in Him. And I love this image. I don't know if you picked up on this farmer scattering the seed. That little mark right there. But just as a farmer scatters the seed, Jesus scatters His Word. Where will it land? Will it land in soft hearts that are deeply rooted and cleared for growth? Because that's what we need. And if your heart still has some areas that are packed hard, let Him start chipping away. Today, do not let your hearts be hardened, but let Him go to work. But it's not easy. It takes time, it takes help. And that's what a church family is all about. That's what we're all called to together, is to be part of that together. And so ask for help. I've learned to ask for a lot of help here lately, and it's just so, why would I wait that long ever again to ask? I am well rooted in the family of God, and it has kept me from withering. But I still have much to clear away that invades on a daily basis the area that God is trying to grow and use. And I gotta clear out those thorns so that I can grow, that I can be healthy, that I can produce a fertile crop that will bless not only my own life, but that will bless lives around me. It will be a lemon tree without end. That will produce fruit that others can benefit from. And so when we're all working the soil, letting God rototill our hearts and get in there deep, making our hearts soft and healthy and productive, we become this incredible orchard of fruit that is not only taking care of each other in here, but taking care of those outside the family of God, bringing them closer in, blessing our community, blessing the world around. That's the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is talking about. This orchard that's so well rooted and producing such abundant fruit to bless so many. I took communion to my dad this morning because he hadn't, you know, he hasn't been here for a while. And that was something that he missed. And one of my greatest treasures is seeing him make his little way over to the communion table on a Sunday. I'm going to miss that.
I know he's going to look down from heaven and just look at me like I'm, you know, I'm the emotional one. And I don't know. My brother would kill me if he heard me say that. He's just as emotional. But I don't know how me and brother came from my dad's cowboy DNA that just... get it from my mom, but as we say every Sunday, you're invited to the Lord's table in your time, because we do that as a family every Sunday to remember, to celebrate, to worship together, and be filled with the joy, with the sacrifice and example and devotion that Jesus has given to each of us. A farmer so devoted to building an incredible orchard that will feed an entire land. That's who we celebrate today. Lord Jesus, I just thank you. Thank you for so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for my dad. Lord, I just pray that each of us would allow you to work the soil of our hearts and lives. That we would receive your word. Let it penetrate. And that we go down deep. Roots and fruit that would just flourish and be a blessing. And so, Lord, produce an abundant crop through your people. Pray in your name. As Keith leads us in worship, nothing's more true than the title of this song. If you would like to pray, I would love to pray with you. Our prayer team would love to pray with you. Come to the back of the room if you would like to pray.